Title of the message is Family, Friends, and Neighbors. I'm going to read from Mark 3:31-34. Then Jesus' mother and brother arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." Walking down the street, a dog saw a sign in an office window: "Help wanted. Must type 70 words a minute. Must be computer literate. Must be bilingual. An equal opportunity employer." The dog applied for the position, but he was quickly rebuffed. "I cannot hire a dog for this job," the office manager said. But when the dog pointed to the line that read, "An equal opportunity employer," the office manager sighed and asked, "Can you type?" Silently, the dog walked over to the typewriter and flawlessly banged out a letter. "Can you operate a computer?" the manager inquired. The dog sat down at the terminal and wrote a program and ran it perfectly. "Look, I still can't hire a dog for this position," said the exasperated office manager. "You have fine skills, but I need someone who speaks bilingual. It says so right here in the ad." The dog looked up at the manager and said, "Meow." This is one of those scriptures, as I read it, I wondered, what was Jesus trying to say to us? What was the reason to record this idea or what was written? What is the idea? I think at times, this is one of my points of the message, that as the oral teachings were transformed over into written text, that sometimes whoever was writing, in this case Mark, he was one of the earliest writers that we have. We think there's a Q, but we don't have anything. But so Mark is what we have as our earliest writing down, writings of what Jesus said, from when he went from oral to a written, when they started writing them down. And I wonder sometimes, and I think sometimes, and I'm going to apply this idea to this particular text, that sometimes the disciple or whoever wrote down wrote a reminder of something greater. We do that every day. We make a little note and it reminds us of something greater than what we're to do. We're going to go in town and we write down, we're going to stop here. We don't write everything down. But it spurs our mind into thinking deeper and larger into whatever we're going to do. I have a bad habit of not able to remember names, but I can remember the reminder or the clue that I have. And I often wonder why I can't remember the name, but I can remember the clue. I don't understand. My brain's a little messed up, I guess. I don't know. I'm human. So I think as I read this text, I thought, well, what bigger idea is Jesus trying to say? Last week when I tried to come up with a title for this message, the only thing that would come to my head every time I thought about a title was Family, Friends, and Neighbors. I said, okay, I'll write that text. Now what am I supposed to do? What did Jesus mean? Well, I can look at it and say, well, he was talking about his family being much larger than just his immediate family. But as I let things roll around in my head and they fester and whatnot, the Spirit moves upon it. I've certainly asked for that. I look at it and say, well, he started out with a small circle of family. Now he has friends. Now he has neighbors. Now it's to the world. So I said, as I have in times past, it's kind of like a mathematic formula or a logarithm or some sort in which you can impute different things along the way and you can come up with different things. Kind of like an onion. I am in the middle, my family, my friends, my neighbors, the world. Or you can say, Jesus is in the center, God's in the center, and move out from there. So you can see it in a different way. I'm going to go a roundabout way of trying to support this idea that within Scripture, there are places where you can put words in and have different multiple meanings, like a formula or a logarithm or an equation or what have you. You can plug in different things and the end result comes out. And seeing how it's the 4th of July, what came to me was, God bless America. We probably heard the song over the 4th of July. Many of us have probably used the word, God bless you, in some phrase, in some way. Maybe when someone sneezes, that's the most typical way I think we use it. We say, God bless you. Well, As I went to research this, I'm going to go backwards. I'm going to start to where we are now and go back in time in this learning what this phrase means. I often wonder, God bless you. What does that mean? What is the blessing that we're talking about? What are we talking about? Are we talking about wealth, wisdom, healing? What is the blessing? When you say God bless America, what do we mean? What I am saying is the words God bless America, this is the second point, I'm giving my points away without you filling it in as I go, because I want to build as I go and back them up. The words God bless you have a long, rich story attached to them. It goes back thousands of years, and it is also, what I also want to put forth is that the words God bless you is but part of a larger idea or a blessing or a thought. There's more attached to them words than just God bless you. And it has a deeper meaning. Similar to what the text is trying to say today, that what I'm trying to illustrate today, like an onion effect or what have you, it ripples out. Now, if you think I am trying to add words or depth to the Scripture, I am. And Jesus did that many times. The Scripture in many different ways has, you are to read the word and dig deeper down into it and get different meanings. Parables, we are to be guided by the Spirit. John talks about guiding by the Spirit will guide you into all wisdom and truth. And also at the end of, I think it's John, it says that there is much more that Jesus said and did that could be contained in the books written. So we know that Jesus said a lot more things. And another thing, what he did, he went off a lot of times, and when he taught a large crowd, he went back to his disciples and taught them different meanings or in-depth meanings. So we know that there's more involved in the Scripture than what we see. Most of us have heard the song, God Bless America. I'm going to start there. The song was a song by Kate Smith when it was finally composed by Ivan Berlin. And there was a lot of changes made along the way to this song. It's a patriotic song. It is the land I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. I didn't know some of the changes that the song made. Through the night, it used to be to the right. And that was too political, so it got changed. So it's interesting how this whole song developed. But what the point I want to start out with is, it's kind of a prayer. It's kind of a asking for God's blessing on a nation. And when it starts out with God up there, comes down to the to America, and then it comes down to the people. So it moves down the line. The second example I want to use is Charles Dickinson, A Christmas Carol. The closing words were, of Tiny Tim was a blessing at the Christmas table, and he says, "God bless us, everyone." That's an interesting way of putting it. Sometimes there's a comma, sometimes there's not. But the story most of us know, the Christmas story, Scrooge, in which the family didn't have enough money, and it was two social orders. One was rich, one was poor. But each one was contingent on the other in the end. Scrooge's happiness and afterlife was attached to helping Tiny Tim and help him be healed. And the fates were connected. God bless us, meaning us, and everyone. So the blessing is starting to move out as I'm starting to go down into the depths of the history of it. Go down into it. It goes from just us to everyone. That's very important. It's starting to move out as we go back in history. And they were both healed, and that, to me, is a blessing. That's one thing that I think is eventually what we're going to get to is the word blessing turns into a health. It has to do with health. So you can say, God heal us. God heal us all. You can put that word in there. That's eventually where I'm going to go. That's the second part that I'm going to go. The practice of saying that, God bless you, as soon as I get my papers in order, which I thought I had, but as sometimes happens, I think, but it is not. Here we go. No. Just give me a second. Okay. The practice of when someone was sneezing, when you said God bless you, that goes back as far as recorded history. Well, that's not necessarily true. Anyway, this starts off at about 77 A.D. But it also says that it goes back further than that, which I'm going to give an example where it goes even back further yet. Suggesting some of the suggestions that some of the folklore was that the body would, when you sneeze, that the soul would leave the body, and then you would say, God bless you, in order to bring it back and to protect you as an individual, or you would say that to somebody. Because that was an opening for the invasion of the devil or evil or spirits. Or that sneezing affected the body, that keep evil presence from invading you. That was one of the ways in which it was somehow, anyway. Okay. One of the other ways, it was in Irish folklore, it was they believed that when you sneezed, that your heart would actually stop beating, and someone had to quickly say, God bless you, so your heart would be encouraged to continue beating. In some cultures, sneezing was a sign of God's goodness. A French word that I'm not going to try to say, means that to your wishes. When they said God bless you, or a phrase after sneezing, it meant to your wishes. A German word which probably most of us heard, Gesundheit. Probably most of us heard that. Anybody know what it means? It means to your health. So that's the blessing. The blessing is your health. When you're saying God bless you, this is where I'm going to go. The blessing is about your health. You're wishing someone's health. English word, again, is another Irish word, again, it means good health. Spanish means health. And even a Hebrew reading means to your health. Now, the Persian culture, this is means a word that I'm not even going to try to say, means to wait and to be patient. That when you sneeze, you're supposed to sit down, wait a minute, Because that's a mentioning of a bad act or some bad thing that's about to happen. So when you sneeze, you're supposed to pause, let that bad action go by and that thought go by, and then you will be saved. And then you go about your business. Something that means more than what we really see. I found it curious. I'm going about a roundabout way. You say, what does all this have to do with the scripture? Well, it just adds to it, that's all. I thought I found it interesting, and so I'm going to use it to illustrate. The Greeks thought that when you sneeze, it was meant an intercession of the gods to make a statement come true. So if you're talking along and all of a sudden you sneeze, that means the gods have an intercession and your statement is going to come true. We think that's kind of rude, but you know, I don't like to sneeze in the middle of something. I guess if I don't sneeze, nothing I said today is true. But nevertheless, sneezing was part of that. National Geographic reports that during the plague of 590, Pope Gregory I, he ordered unceasing prayer for divine intercession. So he dictated and commanded that everybody who sneezed, you were to say, God bless you, as a prevention, because they thought that was the beginning of illness, and you would say, God bless you, to keep some people from sneezing. One of the Eastern stories, which I found to be very fascinating, this is really old. I asked Colleen how to say it. We couldn't come up how to say it, so it's a real long word, about this long. I'm not even going to attempt it. But it's probably part of the Bhagavad Gita or some of the early writings that are way back there. And it's about a story about a prince and a merchant's son who saved his life. And in this story, the cursed prince is saved by the merchant's son, as the prince is supposed to die after 100 sneezes. In other words, someone cursed the prince and that after 100 sneezes, the prince would die. That was, but the merchant's son heard this, heard the curse, but he also heard the cure, knew the cure. And he had to utter, God bless you, on every sneeze. And thus he saved the prince. Interesting story. It's really an old, really, really old story. That's about as far back as that I know that I can go for sneezes. Now, let's get back to where I was, where I should be. I found all that to be very interesting now, myself. It's just interesting tidbit, meaning that we say, God bless you, but we really don't know where it came from, what it's attached to. What I think it's attached to, as I said, is a greater is, God bless you, me, and us, as we are all blessed. Or you can say, God heals us, and you and me, as we are all healed. So when you're saying that, I'm saying it is an egalitarian prayer. We had a little bit of discussion out there in the Sunday school about whether or not we thought Jesus was egalitarian, meaning that equality for all. I believe that Jesus' message was an egalitarian teaching. It's for everybody. It was about universal salvation, saving. Even though we could say the gospel writers wrote it in a way that it may have been apocalyptic. I'm not sure. I think this is an idea that I have and been working as I study about the historicity of Jesus, what he actually said. When I read all this stuff, I have to come up with my own conclusions also. I'm a thinking person, and so I come up with a lot of some things myself. And as I said, I think sometimes, and many times, the scripture is just there to remind us that there's something deeper involved in the scripture, as in this case. I don't think Jesus was denying his family to have a new set of family. And I don't think he held one over the other. But I think it's a more a egalitarian way of looking at something. Everybody becomes my family at some point in view, at some point in time. Although, we're a long way from that. A couple other examples of how blessings move and grow to support the idea that I have about family, friends, neighbors, and the world. Abraham's blessing was a blessing was two parts, or it had more than one part. It was ongoing. Abraham was to leave the land of Ur, go to the land that I will show you, and Abraham would be, his offspring would be blessed, become a great nation, and through him the world would be blessed or healed. So it was an ongoing blessing that moved down through time. Moses talked about a blessing to the children of Israel. That is when he says in Numbers 6, 24, the Lord bless you and keep you. And it goes on to say, make the Lord's face shine upon you, and on and on. What I want to do, the Lord bless you and keep you. So what does keep you mean? It's about health, I think. Keeping you in good health. My mother used to always tell me, if you have your health, you have everything. I think that's true. So keeping you is in terms of when you say God bless you, you are also passing on a blessing of good health. Also, in the Lord's Prayer, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. There is, I'm forgiven, you are forgiven. It moves out from itself. It's kind of like an equation, a formula. It moves out from itself. Matthew 20, somewhere around 24, this is used to argue an egalitarian principle, and it talks about how the rulers of the Gentiles lord over you. Most governments will lord over you. If you go to work, there's somebody that lords over top of you, that has authority over you. But Jesus said, instead of that, you are to become a servant to all. So you travel down and become a servant to all. You're not a ruler over top of everybody, but you become a servant for all. So that is one of the key principles in Christianity. You don't rise up in power, but you are lowered in servitude, and you serve humanity. And that, to me, is more of a egalitarian principle. Another one, as I'm slowly coming to an end, is Paul's teaching is there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor there is male or female, for you are all one in Christ. That is to me is to me one of the basic principles of what Jesus taught. What Paul taught and what Jesus taught in the Gospels, I wonder sometimes how Paul developed all that he taught in his writings. He had to have some type of deeper understanding of what Jesus said in order to get where he went in the start of the church. I think as we look into the Bible and study the Bible, we can have predisposed ideas in our head, and that stops us from going where we should go in the depths that we should go. We talked about that, a little bit of that out here in Sunday school. It seems like I keep repeating myself, we have a hard time coming together with two different ideas. How does this idea come with this idea and come together and formulate a family, a neighbor, and a friend to different ideas? We seem to be kind of like stopped right there. Even in our politics, it seems like we're swinging to the far right, and I'm not liking what I'm seeing, but that's another thing for another subject. I think if the United States is blessed by God, we should look at it we should be a more egalitarian country. We are one of the few countries, I think we're the only country that has such a massive difference in cultures and religions and faith. We're a melting pot. I heard this week that Denmark, they are trying to, they are worried about Islamic people not being able to assimilate into their society. And so they're starting at age 1 with a child and they're educating them into their local culture. And so if you don't assimilate, you're asked to leave. And so that they passed that law. So we'll see where that's going to go. But we, if we want to say we're a blessed nation.
I said we thought about doing that here in the U.S.
Yeah. That's my fear, that it's going to start here. And where does it start? With who? Who are we going to start with? And then you recount the Hitlerist type of thing. We don't care about them. We don't care about them. And next thing you know, they come for us. There is that possibility. If we're going to say we are God bless America, if we are asking for God to bless America, we need to become more egalitarian. Absolutely. I mean, we have to be an example to the world. If we're going to, that's our responsibility of the blessing. That is what I'm going to boil down on, is that if you're going to say God bless America, then we have to be a light to the world in a way that is much better than what we are. And we're not doing a very good job. And I would say even some of our Christian faiths are not doing a very good job. And it's sad. And we are at that point in which we're going to have to do something, or we're going to fly apart. And I don't like what we're seeing. So I'm going to ask this question. How far out do you see the center of your family? Do you just see it, your immediate family? That's it? You're only concerned about that? Is that all you see? Is that what Jesus is trying to say here to us today? That it's only our immediate family that we have to worry about? Is it only ourselves? We've become an society. I want what I want, and the heck with you. We are even within our own families. So how far do we consider our family to be? And then we have friends. Do we exclude some? Say, well, they don't think like me. I don't like them. I'm not going to hang out with them. I'm only going to hang out with these. How far do we include difference in our friendship? How far do we go with our neighbor? How far do we go out? How far does this onion go out for us? How many rings will it go out until we have a nice big onion? Or do we just want a little teeny weeny onion? I think we need to expand it out more and more. And I think that is what Jesus is trying to say in this passage. Yeah, I wandered around a little bit, but nevertheless, I think the bottom line is that Jesus is trying to say to him and to us, the world is our family. And we need to accept that. So I will close with the blessing in which I think the words that should be added or what you should think of as you say, God bless you. God bless us, you and me, as we are all blessed. God heal us, you and me and all, as we are all healed. So if I'm going to say that blessing to you, then it has to be a egalitarian, it's all. Amen.
Singing from memory. according to each one of us. Help us to use these gifts in an appropriate way. Help us to reach out to others with the love that you show to us. We return a portion of the blessings you bestow to us. Please help us to use these gifts to bring help and healing to a world weary with all kinds of division. In your name, amen.